Okay. Remember that the children of Israel are headed for the promised land. Moses is still leading them. Now, he will not lead them into the land, but he is still leading them at this point. And they're headed for the promised land. And watch this. Chapter 22, verse 1. And the children of Israel set forward, in other words, continued on their journey, and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. You see, they're going to cross pretty near this spot. This is where they're going to cross. Again, Moses is not going to take them there, but at this point, he's still with them, and God is still using him to lead. But now they've pitched their tents in the plains of Moab, right across the river, right across the Jordan River from Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. So they're headed for the promised land. They're not far from it now. They're across the river in the plains of Moab. So that would be basically from Jerusalem. That's southeast over across the Jordan, over near the Dead Sea over there. They're in the plains of Moab. They're going to be entering the land very soon. And matter of fact, they're just about ready. And this is the land that was promised to them so many years ago. Well, as a matter of fact, before any of these people were born, this is the land that was promised to Father Abraham and to his descendants, that the very land of Canaan would be his and belong to his descendants. A land that flows with milk and honey, a prosperous, a beautiful land. And they're just on the other side of the river. Oh my goodness, after 38 years of wandering, 40 years total, 38 of it wandering, and they are just on this side, they can look over and see land that is actually theirs. They haven't taken it yet, and they're going to, but that's how close they are. And the king of Moab, Balak, he has heard about all that Israel had done to the Amorites. Remember, God gave Israel the strength to soundly defeat those Amorites, at least for a while. And the whole nation of Moab is afraid now. The king, from the king on down. And the king, honestly, King Balak, doesn't know what to do. He honestly doesn't know what to do. So the next verse, you know, shows us that. Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field." And Balak, the king, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, that's where he lived, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, "Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people." That means curse for me. Don't curse me, but curse for me this people. Or the way you and I would say it is, curse this people for me. "For they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed." I love the King James language. It's just sometimes hard to read. What did we just read? King Balak, or Balak, doesn't know how to handle the children of Israel. He doesn't know how. There are so many of them. He looks out at them, and he can see from the mountain. He can look and see them there in the plains of Moab. And he says, man, they are covering the entire land. There are millions of them. And I've heard that they're pretty tough, and I've heard the stories about what their God has done, and I don't know how to handle this. Should we go out and attack them? It didn't work well for the Amorites. It just didn't work out. I don't know what to do. You see, the Moabites are afraid. And he thinks they may be too big to attack straight on. So he sends for a prophet. In those days, they were prophets, but you would always also use the word seer, one who could see, one of the prophets of their day, and he was called Balaam. Balaam, obviously, has got a reputation. He's well known. It looks like that he is a Midianite and comes from that area just east of Moab. And they send for Balaam. Looks like he's pretty well known in those parts as a fortune teller or as a some kind of seer, prophet. Someone who's got some kind of powers with some of the gods. See, the prophets or the seers of that day, especially Balaam, were known for their ability to put curses on people. It was like a witch doctor or like sometimes witches try to do today. They cast spells and place curses. And Balaam was known for his ability to do it. And the king sends messengers and says, I know, you're the one we want. Because when you curse somebody, they're cursed. And when you bless somebody, they're blessed. And that's your reputation. So we really need some help. We need you to curse some people for us. There are so many of them, the children of Israel. They've come up out of Egypt. And we need you to curse them. We're not sure we can handle it ourselves. So he's got a real reputation in them their parts. They're going to send for Balaam. Balaam. Everybody, almost everybody, most non-Christians that you'll talk with know the story of the talking donkey. Most people don't understand exactly what went on, but many, many Christians basically know a little bit of the story that one time a donkey talked, and they don't remember exactly why he did, or maybe they can't remember the name of the person that the jackass was talking to, but they do remember that a donkey talked, and that's how they make fun of the Bible and all. But you know, Balaam, he's one of the characters in the Bible that we just don't understand. We don't understand this guy. I don't. If you study him, I'm sure you won't either. You can try, though. Go for it. Study. We can't figure this man out. He's kind of a rare bird. One of the commentators, older commentaries, calls Balaam the strangest of all the characters in Scripture. And when you read his writing, when you watch him in operation, he really is an oxymoron of all kinds. But he's a prophet. And when he curses, people are cursed. And when he blesses, people are blessed. And something's going on here. And he's one of those characters that we just can't fit into some sort of box. Everyone tries. It's just hard to do. Some consider him a true prophet of God, and others call him a false prophet, only using his abilities to make himself rich, much like many men and women are doing today, using their abilities to become multimillionaires. That's kind of what Balaam did as well. But he is not as bizarre as we might think, because as you've been reading through the Scriptures, you've seen other people like this that really don't make sense. Characters that you can't figure out very well. For instance, and you can try it. Go back and read through. Saul. King Saul. You try that one. You just try that one on and walk with him through 1 Samuel. Just walk with him through 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, just walk through. And it won't make sense to you. He goes from prophesying before the Lord to, and he battles with evil spirits much of his life. And he's just one of those guys that everybody's got their opinion on where he is today. Did he get to paradise or not? And it depends on who you talk to, and you'll get a different answer. But he wasn't alone. Well, there are many others. I can't go through them all. You take a look at Cain, and you'll see that God spoke directly to him. And there's an issue that's an interesting one. In the New Testament, we think about Judas. There's an odd character for you. Was he ever born again? Bible says no. No, never. Yet, nobody knew it. None of the holy people knew it. None of the 12 who were with him pretty much 24/7 for 3 years, none of them had a clue. Yet Jesus and Jesus alone knew it. Well, besides Judas, Jesus knew that. Nobody else did. That's why we're funny critters, because we're quick to judge who's really saved and who's not. You know, Christians are good for that. You know, I just don't think she's saved. Why? Well, she does this and she acts this way. You know, but you know, is he? Oh, yeah. But you know why? Man, he's great. He's at church all the time. That was Judas, wasn't it? He was at church all the time. He was right on with Jesus. He carried the money. He was the first in line when you wanted things done. You got Judas. Was he born again? No. You see, what that tells you is there are some characters in here. We just can't get a grasp of them. We don't quite understand what's going on with this Balaam cat. Kind of interesting. In the New Testament, there's also Demas. Not Nicodemus. Although you could check him out too in the book of Acts, but there's Demas, and he was a sincere, solid servant for years and years and years, and finally, his true colors came out, and he walked off, and Paul says God will get him. He left Paul, the ministry Paul was with. He left the team after years and years of unselfish serving. He says Demas went back to the world. The world was more. And you think, all right, I thought I had this all figured out, and there goes Demas. I think God has these in here so that you and I won't become so cocky as to think we got this one wired. We think we know who's who and what's what, and Christians are so guilty of deciding who's really saved and who's not. I'm not sure. And I think, you know, God is saying, you know what? Make your own calling and election sure. Leave everybody else to me. Peter, if I want that one to do this and this and this, what is it to you? You follow me. Well, here we have Balaam. Hey, did you know, as you read through the entire Bible, more is said about Balaam than is said about Mary, the mother of Jesus. I see, we can't figure this guy out. Hey, more is said about Balaam than is said about all the apostles individually throughout all of Scripture. That amazes me. And I still don't get the guy. Balaam is mentioned 3 times in the New Testament. And each time it is in connection with apostasy, with a falling away, with a turning away and a going away from God. Peter talks about, in 2 Peter, the way of Balaam. Jude talks about the error of Balaam. And Revelation talks about the doctrine of Balaam. So he mentioned 3 times in all in the form of or about having to do with apostasy. All in the negative. He was a Midianite, he was a prophet, he was a seer, and he had a widespread good reputation at being very good at what he does. And so the king of Moab sends for this Midianite who lives over to the east there. Would you please come, because there's a big group of people that have come out of Egypt, and we need them cursed. We know when you curse, people are cursed, and when you bless, people are blessed. Could you come and help us? And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards. You knew money would be involved, right? With the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came to Balaam, and they spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said to them, lodge here this night. Balaam said to them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. They come down and they say, here's the deal. And here's the money. And we brought lots of money. We'll make you a rich man. And what we're asking you to do, the king wants you to come back and curse some people. What does Balaam answer? You'll have to wait here tonight. I'll need to pray about it. Wow. I mean, it just, I don't know. It's just not the way I picture Balaam. I mean, I've seen men and women of God in the Bible that don't pray about it first. And now we have Balaam, the prophet. He says, I've got to seek the Lord. I got to go before the Lord and see what the Lord wants me to do. You guys just wait here tonight. I'll seek the Lord. Interesting. And I'll tell you what he tells me. I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you what he tells me to do. That's just not the way we see Balaam. We see him talking to a donkey. We don't see him talking to God. But he does. And you want to hear something really weird? Do this. Yeah, God talks to him. In verse 9, the Lord came to Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, sent them unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt which cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning, said to the princes of Balak, get you into your land, might as well go home. The Lord refuses to give me permission to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went to Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. Now, are you surprised? I am. He's in this for the money. How do you know? They brought money with them. They've dealt with this guy before. They know his reputation. He curses, you're cursed. He blesses, you're blessed. And so they bring the price of divination. And it was big. This guy's got a reputation, not just nationwide, but worldwide. He's not a part of Moab. He's from further east. But he's got such a reputation, and they want the best. And the king's willing to pay for it. So they're going to bring him a lot of money. And he says, I got to pray about this. I got to go speak to the Lord. See, I told you. He's just one of those characters in the Bible that we can't seem to get our brains around him. We can't seem to get a lock on this guy. What is he all about, really? It is not altogether unprecedented that God would speak to a non-believer. For instance, you remember Pharaoh's dream. God spoke to Pharaoh in a dream. You remember King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. God spoke to King Nebuchadnezzar when they were heathen, pagan, not even close to the Lord, having nothing to do with, not even believing in the Lord. Remember that God spoke to Abimelech, the king of Gerar, when Abraham was down there and God had to speak to the king and say, you touch his wife, you're dead meat. Remember that? God spoke to him and they were heathen. They had nothing to do with the Lord. So is that the case with Balaam? It's kind of hard to tell, isn't it? But sure, we know God says no. What are those men doing here, Balaam? King Balak from Moab sent them. Asked me to curse the children of Israel. And they'll pay me big time for it too, Lord. Here's what the Lord says. No, absolutely not. I have blessed them. You will not curse them. You will not go with them. Send them on their way. Tell them thank you. Balaam goes back in the morning, the messengers, and says this, the Lord refuses to give me permission. Listen to the way that's worded, and you'll understand how the way the prayer request went. I want to go with them. This is big money, Lord. And so they're here, and they want me to go and curse these people. And this could really bless me some, you know. I might even give you 10%. I don't know. They made that part up, but you can see he wants this money. The Lord says, no. And so he says, the Lord refuses to give me permission. I would have gone with you if the Lord would have given me permission. But the Lord says, no, I can't go. Sorry, guys. You'll have to return to the king and say, no, thank you. Well, they went back and they told the king. And Balak, verse 15, sent yet again princes, not just messengers, much more important people now, more honorable than the others. Okay, we'll pull out the big guns. We sent some messengers. Now we're going to send some real, true, state ambassador. We're going to send the big guys out, man. We'll turn his head with more money and more power. You know, he'll just feel like he's really somebody. They came to Balaam. They said to him, "Thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming to me. For I will promote you unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever you say unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse this people for me." Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, "If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord, ready, my God, to do less or more. Now, therefore, I pray you, tarry here also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more or further." And verse 20 says, "God came to Balaam at night, said unto him, if the men come to call you, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto you, that shalt thou do." Notice, the king wouldn't take no for an answer. Come and curse these people. They're too many for us. Curse them so we can maybe defeat them. The answer is no. God told me I can't, so I can't. I'm sorry, guys. I'd love to come along. I could use the funds, but no, I can't. The king doesn't accept no for an answer. You notice who also didn't accept no for an answer? Balaam. What was the answer when he cried out to God the first time? No, I have blessed them. You will not curse them. Well, the king says, listen, I'll tell you what. We'll send more important people, and I'll tell you what. You can write your own ticket. You name your price this time. I mean, we know what you commonly get, but I'll tell you what, anything you want, you name your price and it's yours. We really want you to come and curse these guys. And what did he say? I can't. God said no. God meant no. He's already blessed them. I can't. No, that's not what he said. What did he say? Man, that much money, I write my own? Yeah. Okay, well, I got to tell you what, stay tonight and I'll go ask him again. Maybe he's changed his mind. What's going on here? I think you know. Because here's what Balaam's saying. What I want to do is go with you guys. I would love to go with you, but God told me I couldn't. I'd go for all that money in a heartbeat, as a matter of fact. But it's really what God will allow or not allow. He said, you could give me all the gold and silver in your house. But you see, it's really God. He's my God. And whatever he says, I need to do. But I don't want to, but I have to. He already knows that the Lord will not allow him to curse the people that God has blessed. He already knows it. But he doesn't take that for an answer. He wants the money. You know, that's a lot. You can hear the prayer. That is a lot to lose, Lord. You got to really consider now. Think about it, God. I'll just check with God one more time. You guys wait and let's see what God says. What's he hoping for? He's hoping God will change his mind. True? Why is he hoping for that? You all know. Because it's what he wants. Are we guilty of that? When we pray? Lord, this is what I want. And then when we don't get it, God didn't answer. Where's the love? Where's the mercy? I'll go back. And God says, no. Well, I'll go back again and I'll check. And it's kind of funny. See, here's the deal. I want that money. But I know that I really can't go against God. But man, you're offering me money. And this is just too enticing. I'll go back and maybe God will change his mind. I'm hoping. And here's what I'm hoping. I read a story about a pastor who was pastoring a little church, and it's little, it couldn't pay him very much. They had a parsonage, but it was tiny, and that's where he would live in the church property, and it was going okay, and he and his wife were doing okay, but it was just a struggle, hard to live. There's a town probably about 60 miles away that their pastor passed away. They lost their pastor, and they called him well, by letter, and asked him to come and take that little church. Now, that little church was 10 times the size of his. It would pay him a great salary. They had a much better parsonage. It was just all the way around, it was better. And of course, you're going to be serving God. It's a church. So he says to his office, to people that were there, he said, I'm going to go home and pray. I've been asked if I would do this. I'm going to go home and pray. And he comes walking in. His wife says, what are you doing in the middle of the day? What are you doing? He goes, I've got this offer for the church at such and such. She goes, that's a pretty big church. He goes, yeah, they want me to come over. They've lost their pastor and they want me to come over. I'm going to head upstairs and I'm going to pray. And she said, oh, well, I'll come up and pray with you. He goes, no, you stay down here and pack. Hey, how many times do we do that? How many times you see this beautiful girl, you see this beautiful guy, you know, is that the one for me? And you've already got, you know, well, you've got wedding invitations picked out. And you're hoping the Lord will come through and say yes, because you've already spent the money. Pick the date already. But what if God says it won't work out? No, we already got the date. Are you sure you're seeking the Lord for what he wants? Balaam's not. Balaam is seeking the Lord for what Balaam wants. And by the way, Balaam's going to try and get what he wants. And God understands it. God knows the heart. And you're going to notice that God knows the heart in Balaam here. And look what God does. God says, okay, I'll tell you what, Balaam. I'll tell you what. You go. But don't say anything unless I tell you to say it. And whatever I tell you to say, that's what you're going to say. That's not going to work out for a lot of money, is it? No. You're not going to get the money if you don't curse them. This is the money we're paying you to curse them. You can write your own ticket, but you've got to curse them. Come with us and curse these people. God says, all right, go with them. But you only say what I'll say that you'll say. And so notice Balaam's happy with that. Okay, I've gotten half of what I want. I bet you by the time I get there, I can get the rest of what I want. It's the Christian way. It's really becoming the modern Christian way. We decide what we're going to do, and we ask God to bless it. We decide what's wrong with somebody else. We start praying that way about them. We decide how this deal is going, and this is how we want it to go, and we begin to pray that way. But God knows our hearts. And here's some scary news, although we all know this. Here's some scary news. God let Balaam have his way. You'll be reading about the way of Balaam in the New Testament. God let him have his way. Have you ever prayed for something and it was, and God said no, and you continued on in it, and God said, go ahead? You know what's coming, don't you? Real trouble is coming. Real trouble. Marriage people come in, they've been married for 3 or 4 years, and they're about at each other's throat, they're ready to kill one another. But that's not the way they were talking the day after their wedding. Matter of fact, it lasted a good 6 weeks before they were throwing shoes at one another. You got what you wanted, and you learned it wasn't what you wanted. And Balaam is going to learn the hard way. And so God lets us sometimes have our way. And so to the children of Israel who wanted lots of meat, he said, I'll give you meat until it comes out your nose. And the Bible says he sent them exactly what they wanted, but he sent leanness to their souls. Which isn't what they wanted in the long run. It wasn't worth all the quail. So it teaches us a lesson. God says, okay, I'll tell you what. I'll let you go. I can see you want to go. But God understands the heart. But you can only say what I tell you what to say. You think God's going to let him curse those people? No. You think he's ever going to be able to curse them? No, he won't. But he will come up with a plan to work it out to get the money anyway. You'll see. Well, verse 21. Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. And I want you to understand that all he had to do was saddle that donkey. And do you know why? Remember the joke I told you? Pastor's up praying. I'll come up and pray with you. No, you stay down here and pack. You think Balaam's bags were ready to go? Yes, they were. They were ready to go. All he had to do was get up, throw them on the donkey, and clear out. It's a heart situation here that we can learn from. And Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. The angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way as they were on their way, his sword drawn in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way, just walked off the path and into a field. Odd for that donkey to do, Balaam's thinking. And Balaam hit the donkey to turn her back onto the path. And the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a little further down the road. A wall being on this side and a wall being on that side. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he hit her for that again. Beat the donkey one more time. And the angel of the Lord went further, just a bit down the road, and there was no way to, stood in a narrow place. Now the donkey can't get out into a field. There's no walls to run him into. You've really got a problem. You're forced now to have to deal with this. There was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. When the donkey saw, verse 27, the angel of the Lord, the donkey fell down, just collapsed and just bent his legs and fell down while Balaam's still sitting on this donkey. And this time he hit the donkey with a stick, with a staff. Balaam's bags were packed. All he was waiting for was the right permission. God says, okay, go. But you'll only speak what I tell you to speak. So he is out early in the morning. They get on, they pack up, they go. They're headed, he's going to go become a rich, rich man is what he's going to do. His heart isn't with the Lord. His heart is, I'm going to get me something. That's what I want. And oh man, God's letting me go. This is going to work out great for me. And God knows that. Do you hear that God knows why we're doing what we're doing? I'm sure if you'd have called Balaam aside, said, be honest with me, why are you doing this? Well, I prayed about it, and God said, go ahead and do it. I'm not going to say anything he doesn't want me to say. I mean, this is God. I mean, I'm just serving the Lord. But God knows the real heart, and the real heart is, I'm going to get that money. I'm going to come out of this a rich man. And he will, by the way. Now he's on his way back. But the Bible says the Lord's anger was kindled because he went. Do you think God's mad because he's on his way to the king? No, that's not what the Bible's telling you, not at all. God's not mad he's on his way to the king. God told him, go ahead and go to the king. The problem isn't that you're going. The problem is the reason that you're going. Don't you get it? The problem isn't that you're going. God said, go ahead and go. The problem is, I know why you're going, and I'm angry. I realize you are going to try to hurt my people, and so I'm going to have to kill you. Or at least threatened to, because there's an angel standing there with his sword out, ready to part Balaam's hair right down the middle. That's what the Bible says. He's on his way to see the king, and the angel of the Lord stood in his way as an adversary. Imagine God standing up against him. And all we're seeing, if you're wondering what that language means, we're just seeing God blocking his way, but he can't see the angel of the Lord. The only one that sees the Lord in this is a dumb animal. The Lord is in this all the way, and Balaam is in great danger, as a matter of fact, and the only one that realizes it is a dumb animal, a donkey. The only one with spiritual insight isn't the prophet, it's the dumb animal that he's beating, as a matter of fact. The Lord gave him permission to go. God's not angry that he's going. He's angry at the heart motive for the whole issue, and God's going to deal with the heart motive right now. The donkey, seeing the angel of the Lord with his sword drawn, ready to part Balaam's hair, just turns off and just goes off the road, down off into the field. Now, the donkey's just never done that before. It's kind of weird, and so he starts hitting it to force it back up onto the road. We got to go get this money, dude. He has no idea what's going on. Think about your life. Not that you're all into donkeys and all, but you think about your life. When there are times when you've had to, you've gotten off this path, and you're mad at the person that maybe took you off there, it might be the very thing that saved your life from getting a little haircut. It might be something that God has done to stop you because He understood the heart motive behind what was going on. Can you imagine? Because it's a spiritual issue, and we all pretend like we know. These are deep spiritual issues, because everybody talks about it like it's a funny story of a guy talking with his donkey. But these are deep issues. The Lord is going to say in a moment, this animal has saved your life. Now, God knew it all along. God allowed Himself to be seen by a donkey. Do you get the point? How merciful God is in the way He handles us, in the way He guides us, and the things that He lets happen to us sometimes. And we see them as setbacks or big problems, and we might want to beat the donkey that's taken us that way. But this donkey just saved his life, and he whips the thing and gets it back onto the roadway. This time back on the path, the angel backs up a little ways, and he's now blocking the way again, and there's a wall on each side. And the donkey, as he's headed toward this angel, doesn't really know how to handle it, so he just runs himself into the wall. Of course, with the donkey smashing up against the wall, what's going to smash up against the wall? One of Balaam's feet, his foot, and it's going to hurt. And what's Balaam, how is he going to take that? Get off and look at the donkey and say, I don't know what your problem is, but maybe we should stop for a while and let you get over this. No, he just hits it some more to force it to continue on. He wants that haircut that the Lord's prepared for him. Now he's in pain, and he really gives the donkey a beating. You know, this poor animal has, if you ask me, and you know, I know most of us don't care about animals, like we don't dress them and put them in our wills and things like that. Well, some of you do, but, you know, God loves animals. He created them. The Bible says even tiny birds that are worth nothing, one doesn't die without our Father in heaven knowing that first. He cares about every animal He created. I'm telling you, this animal, and you may not think so, but it sure is paying a price for Balaam's heart problem, isn't he? Yeah, you don't say, well, it's a dumb donkey, a girl donkey to boot, who really cares? God does. And you'll see that in a moment. Now the angel moves just a bit, backs up just a bit further down the path to where there is absolutely no way out this time. There's no way of passing that angel, no way of getting around. You're stuck here, and the donkey doesn't know what to do. So the donkey, to save the life of the one that's beating her, lays down right in the middle of the road. Just lays down right in the middle of the road. And that makes Balaam furious, and he begins to mercilessly beat this donkey. He was furious. So he's wailing on this donkey who's laying down and refuses to get back up. In verse 28, we read this. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done unto you that you have beaten me these three times? And Balaam is so angry, he talks back to the donkey. Because you mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. And that's, he was that angry. If he would have had something to kill this animal with, he would have killed it right on the spot. And the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey, upon which you have ridden ever since I was thine, ever since you owe me to this very day? was I ever want, or was it ever my practice in our language, to do so unto thee? Have I ever done anything like this ever the whole time you've ever owned me before? Have I ever done? And he says, well, no, now that you bring it up. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his face, or his head, and he fell flat on his face. And you wonder sometimes, is it going to take a dumb donkey? Is it going to take a jackass to have to speak to us spiritual truths? Speak to us things that we should have known in our hearts, but our hearts are so stubborn and so set on our own ways. Are we going to have to do everything the hard way like Balaam? Well, this is miraculous. Lord opened the donkey's mouth. In God's mercy, he let the donkey handle the situation. He allowed the donkey to speak. And I love, the donkey is a lot smarter than you give donkeys credit for. I mean, you know, I've never talked to one personally, but this is a smart donkey. And pretty logical. And the donkey says, you know what? It's kind of like God says to us, let's reason together. The donkey says, you got to think about this, Balaam. Why are you beating me like this? Now that had to shock Balaam a little bit. I mean, I understand he's angry and he's out of control, but it had to shock him a little bit. His donkey says, why are you beating me like this? What are you doing? Why have you beaten me these three times? And Balaam had to stop and answer. Because you're mocking me. I'm trying to get to where I need to get. I got God's permission to get there. And I don't know what your problem is, but you're mocking me. And if I had a sword in my hand right now, you'd be a dead donkey. I'd walk. I'd prefer to walk, as a matter of fact. You're so stubborn. And the donkey begins to reason with a fool, who begins to reason with someone who obviously doesn't have much reason. Whenever our hearts are set against the Lord, even if we think they're not, whenever our hearts are set, we are fools. We are without reason. Our logic doesn't apply. Nothing really works. We're just going to go get what we want. We're going to use God's word. We're going to say we got God's permission. And that's what Balaam's doing. The donkey says this, Balaam, you need to think about this. Think it through, man. I'm your donkey, right? Well, yeah. I belong to you, right? And I've belonged to you for a long time, haven't I? Right? Right, yeah. You've been riding me all these years, haven't you? True? Well, yeah. What's your point? Well, have I ever done anything like this before? Ever? Well, no. Well, duh. Don't you see something's up? Balaam, no. So God had to open Balaam's eyes. And God showed Balaam what was going to happen, or what could have happened to him. And what did he do? He fell down before the angel of the Lord on his face. And verse 32 says, the angel of the Lord said to him, not, why are you going? Tell me the truth. I know it. Or what's your problem? Here's what the angel of the Lord said. Why are you hitting your donkey? Why did you beat that animal three times? Behold, I went out to withstand you because your way is perverse before me. I went out to part your hair with this sword. The donkey saw me and turned from me these three times. Listen closely. God says, unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain you. And she'd still be alive. That donkey, that dumb animal, she saved your life. Of course, God, if he wanted, he could strike Balaam dead on the spot anyway. He didn't have to wait and strike him with the sword. You get the point, don't you? God is teaching Balaam a lesson. He's saying to him, I know why you're going. Now, I gave you permission to go, but I know what you're thinking. And if you think you're going to get away with this, just realize the dumb animals see more than you do. You're not going to get away with this. When you get there, you're going to say what I tell you to say and nothing more. if you'd like to keep that part where it is. So, Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, verse 34, I have sinned. For I did not know that you stood in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men. But only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that shalt thou speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Notice, God says, you have no right to beat that animal. That animal saved your life. You should probably never ride it again and feed it everything it wants. It saved your life. If it weren't for the faithfulness of your donkey, you'd be dead. I hate to say it this way, but God is basically saying your donkey's smarter than you. Your donkey has more spiritual insight than you do. Balaam, you're in a bad place. You're the prophet, and your donkey's doing a better job than you are. And Balaam acknowledges his sin. You're right, Lord. I wanted the money. I have sinned. I shouldn't have hit the animal. I probably shouldn't even be going. And I see it's the problem. Lord, I'll just go back. I'll tell him, nope, forget it. I'll just go back. I'll turn back and go home. And the Lord said, no. I told you you could go. You can go. I just thought I'd give you a warning. You will only say what I tell you to say. You will only speak the words that I tell you to speak. You're not going to curse my people because I have blessed them. You know, if he doesn't curse the people, everybody, he's not going to get what he wants. If he can't find a way to curse these people without using the words, he's not going to get what he wants. And I'm here to tell you, I've read ahead, and Balaam is going to get what he wants. And you all know what that is. Now, as a Christian, we all need to take a step back and quit acting like we're smarter than Balaam and start to say, wait a minute, I better take a step back here and seek the Lord. You know, is this what he wants for me, or is this what I wanted for me? Is this what he's saying for me to do and to be, or is this what I think I should be doing and being? What is the Lord saying? Verse 36 says, when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him to a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is in the utmost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor? I can't believe he didn't come the first time I invited you. Man, I'm rich. You can go places if you'll stick with me. I'm glad you're here now. Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am come unto thee. But the bad news is, I had that part. I have no power at all to say anything. And I'm telling you, that's a fact. Because I need to keep my hair where it is. I have no power at all to say anything. The word that God puts in my mouth, that shall I speak. You know the king didn't like that. Well, Balaam went with Balak. They came into Kirjath Huzoth. And Balak offered oxen and sheep and sent to Balaam and to the priests or princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the next day, the morrow, that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. Balak has to do something about these people. And he's decided, remember, God is not his God. We've got to get rid of these people. We've got to get them cursed. We've got to get them cursed, or we don't stand a chance. There's too many of them. He needs to get what he wants. Balaam, who's sorry for a moment, his heart hasn't changed. He needs to get what he wants. And he wants the prestige and the honor and the reputation to get bigger and all the finances and all the glitter and all the et cetera that goes with it. So he's going to find a way to curse the people without using the words. He's going to find a way, and he's going to come up with it, cleverly find a way to have the people cursed without him having to do it. And he'll get the way, the things he wants. He's into the fame and the fortune. I was reading today about one of the, what do we call them today? Superstar Christians of today. A church in Texas asked this person to come and speak. And the reply from this person, this was in Charisma magazine, they did a big article on it. And the reply from this individual says, I'd love to come and speak. I require a minimum five-figure honorarium. Five figures, minimum. Five figures, you guys do the math, and I'm not talking about with decimals. Minimum. That would be, what, starting at 10,000 going up, wouldn't it? Okay. I need 6 or 7 bodyguards that you pay for. I have to stay at a 5-star hotel. So we're looking at a minimum of 3 or 4 or 5 nights. I want the whole floor. Because I don't want people knocking on my door asking for autographs or prayer or anything like that. Have to pay not for a plane ticket. You have to pay for fuel. And I forget the number. Thousands of gallons in case, because we're bringing our own private jet, in case we want to take a trip or, you know, see the area stuff, you have to pay for the fuel. All the food, all the fixings, and then we'll come. This was one of the super female teachers of our day. This is a woman, nothing personal, girls, a woman coming to teach at a conference. And it's going to take these people 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, maybe 100,000 to get her there with her entourage and all. Prophet of God, prophetess. And I think, is that what God wants for us? Is that what he wants for us? Is that the way of Balaam? Is that the error of Balaam? Remember, we'll learn about those things, but how sad. So we just, that's between her and God. I believe that's her problem. It's between her and God. We don't need to judge it. We just need to make sure that if we're invited to speak, we don't need all those things. We don't really need a 5-star hotel. You know, we could stay on the floor or wherever. In other words, Balaam wants the money. He wants the fame. He wants the fortune. He wants every bit that goes with it. God understands that. God sees what's coming. And God's going to let it happen. That always amazes me about God. He will let this lady speak in the Houston area. He'll let that happen. But there's going to be somebody to answer for that. When you pray, and when I pray, when we pray, we should be saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what is your will? Not, can I go do this? Can I go do that? They'll pay me big for it. Because we really have a hard time, according to Scripture, understanding our own hearts. And God is the one who searches the hearts and knows the hearts. So we need to seek the Lord in everything. The little things like school, the little things like marriage, you know, the little things like accepting jobs, turning down jobs, the little things that make what we call life go on. Pray about these issues and we'll learn a little bit more about his errors and his ways and stuff in the next couple of chapters. Lord, we ask of you wisdom in these areas. We ask of you wisdom in cases like this, because there are times when we're probably dumber than donkeys. And we sometimes get our eyes on what we think we want, get our eyes on what we think we need. And sometimes, Lord, we're carried to a place we shouldn't be. So guide us and lead us and help us to learn. Your word says these are written as examples to us. And so Balaam, there he is, though we can't understand him and really get a grasp of all that he's about. Yet he wisely cried out to you and you told him what you wanted. But Lord, his heart went off, went wrong. So help us to learn from these issues. Teach us in all our ways to acknowledge you, and you will direct our paths, you said. So we thank you, Lord, for the study. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.